Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu geeks.
Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I'm sitting here at an open mat with my co-host Brian. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, E.T.?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, we got a live studio audience for this one.
Yeah, we got an open mat going on around us, so you're going to hear
a
lot of
grunting and groaning. That's probably not E.T. It's,
no. Shit.
Yeah. But it might be.
Well, I guess with again, we have the absence of Aaron. Aaron couldn't make it in for this podcast.
So. I miss you, Aaron.
He smells good, man.
What?
Herbal Essence. What he washes his hair with. And you don't have hair.
No, I don't. Clear hair. It's clear hair.
Yeah.
I wash my scalp. Also smells good.
Yeah, we got open mat going on here. We had first off, we're gonna have to congratulate each other, I guess, in the absence of Aaron.
Yes.
We're
congratulating because Aaron isn't here. Thank God he's not here.
All right, enough shtick. Congratulations on your promotion.
Congratulations to you on your promotion, sir. New brown belts here.
Yesterday we got both Brian and I got our brown belt from Gustavo Machado. He came in yesterday for a seminar, a really good seminar, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about today.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like we were just talking about it. We used the first part of the open mat to just kind of review, because all of you guys know and gals know that have been to seminars. Like you get so much out of a three hour seminar. I guess usually about how long? 2 or 3 hours. You can take away a little bit of it, but after a while you just get overloaded. But this stuff was really easy to remember because it was all based on the quarter guard that Gustavo does a lot of, and it's just like he did like the branch of the or the trunk of the tree, which is the quarter guard, just the basic setup, and then he did sweeps and submissions and some counters from there. It was great. I actually remember, I think, everything. We just reviewed everything. And
we just went over everything, and that's probably one of the first when we can come in here the next day and we can regurgitate it all and just drill it all, and we don't have to we're not forgetting anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really good seminar we did yesterday. It was a long 3 hours, of course, because you just get super thirsty and hungry. And
you get thirsty, hungry, and I was telling you guys yesterday, my like legs just start hurting about an hour 45 minutes in. They just ache. They just start to like from just being sitting in like in someone's guard for long periods of time, just constantly. You're not really moving a whole lot. And then in the end, you get up and you're like, oh, gosh. And then we rolled at the end of this one, which is something we don't typically do.
We don't typically roll at the end of a seminar. But
yeah.
We had some blues get promoted to purple and purple to
quite
brown.
Quite a few. Yeah, I got purple army going now.
Yeah, so because of that, I think he wanted just to see how we roll.
Yeah.
And
it's
pretty nice capper to the end of this end of the seminar.
Yeah, we only went a few rounds, thank God. I was wondering if he would be like, okay, these three guys in the middle, and then just have people diving in on them, you know, Shark Tank style. But it was good. It's always great when Gustavo comes because he's always got some good stories, and his teaching is just so technical.
Yeah,
like I can't imagine what it's like to roll with him. I mean, I know what it's like rolling with Chris, and I've seen Chris roll with Gustavo.
Yeah,
it's just levels of difference just from those years and years of just being on the mat constantly, just knowing the finest details of every little aspect of the game or the move that you're doing. It's just insane.
And I love hearing what Gustavo says about, this is what I just learned. He says, this is something I just learned.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he's telling you stuff that kind of revelations that came to him after, how many years do you say, the black belt?
Yeah.
15?
15?
You know?
Yeah, so. it's amazing, but I mean, it's never ending, and I guess that's the good thing, and maybe the slightly discouraging thing too, is like you're never going to know everything.
Yeah.
But it gives you something to shoot for, I think, and that's what makes it so great, is that it continually is changing. And I mean, it's us both being brown belts now, like I've been trying to like identify weak spots in my game lately and work on those, drill those, and I just realized, God, like I don't know anything. I don't know hardly anything.
The more you do it, the more you realize your holes are bigger and bigger and bigger.
Like the more you learn, the more you realize how little you actually know.
Yeah,
it's scary, dude.
So, well, jiu-jitsu, we all love it so much. And mm-hmm. You know, jiu-jitsu, the greatest thing for me is, like, I saw my parents last night, and they were just like, "Man, we're so glad you still do this."
Yeah.
And, I was, you know, it's just martial arts training in general for me has been 20 years. Jiu-jitsu has been 9. I'm like, yeah, I can't imagine ever not doing this. I can't, you know. For me, it's just a form of therapy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, not to be, like, existential, but, like, life's a beatdown sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
But when you, I mean, bills, girlfriend, work, trouble. Mm-hmm. When you have a girlfriend and a wife, that's a lot of trouble. Jeez, I mean, it's just compiled. But, you, I mean, you want to talk about living in the moment. You come into jiu-jitsu and, like, you don't think about any of that when somebody's trying to choke you.
You can't think about anything else or else you lose.
Right. Yeah. And, when, you know, you walk out, you may be tired, your neck hurts, or your arm is hurting, but your soul and your psyche is a little bit more repaired.
It's actually what you just said is so true. It's actually a form of, like, it's like mobile meditation.
Yeah.
You can only think about, like, in meditation, they're telling you just think about breathing, concentrate on your breathing.
Yeah.
If someone's mounted on you, they got the first collar grip in and they're going for the second. All you're thinking about in that moment is fighting that other grip.
That really is the be in the moment. That is the, I mean, if you want to talk about the quickest way of, like, getting into the moment of anything. It's jiu-jitsu. I mean, when I think probably take yogis a long time to really get it to, we have to do it real quick.
Yeah, I haven't done yoga, and I love it.
I love it too.
It's just distracting, especially when you're in your room with a bunch of other people. Like, when we go to a hot house, there's all these super hot chicks there. And I'm just like, it's hard for me to sometimes focus, but I don't care who's in the jiu-jitsu studio with me if someone's trying to, you know, kill me.
Or hyperextend my elbow.
Yeah, hyperextend your elbow or blow your ACL out. You got to worry about that and not what's going on just outside or whatever. So let's back up for a little minute. How long you been doing jiu-jitsu? 9 years?
9 years.
All with Chris?
Yeah, all with Chris. I only actually took one lesson under somebody else, and I don't want to say who it is. I just tried two schools. Mm-hmm. One school I almost signed up for because it was the closest one to me.
Okay.
And I was living in, like, this real small town outside of Waynesburg. Everybody heard of West Point, Virginia. Probably nobody's heard of that. Not where the military academy is. Yeah. There was a school that was close, and I almost joined it because it was, you know, kind of close. Mm-hmm. But then Chris Mahan, Top Game Academy.
First degree black belt.
It was further away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm just going to try this out. And just because I already emailed him and he gave me a really nice response. It's like, I'll just go see.
Yeah.
You know, he emailed me. I felt obligated.
Sure.
Because I'm in my mid-20s. You think you're obligated. Somebody emails you back.
Yeah.
So I went to, and even though the classes were later and I had to wait around in a city that was further away from my home, I had to sit in Barnes & Noble for 3 hours before class.
You say that, but that's not a big deal for you because you're a huge nerd.
Yeah. Well, I would fall asleep on the couch or something. Yeah, I looked homeless. But then once I met everybody, it was, and started learning from Chris, it was like, man, I can't imagine going anywhere else.
Yeah. And Chris is just, you said your first class was just after Chris got his brown belt, right?
That was his first class of the brown belt, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you've been a long time. Dang.
Yeah, and in between, man. Marriage, kid, you know, other business ventures. I mean, everything kind of, life just kind of happens, and you know, you just don't take jiu-jitsu out of it. Keep jiu-jitsu in the equation, and it keeps everything so much better
balanced.
When you have that jiu-jitsu. What about you?
It'd be 7 years this year for me, and I was looking around, like, because I when I lived in South Carolina, I was trying to find jiu-jitsu. And I could not find a place anywhere in Charleston. I lived in Charleston.
Why jiu-jitsu for you? Because coming from traditional martial arts, I knew what jiu-jitsu was. Yeah. For you,
I did a lot of research. I remember Googling going on Wikipedia. It was like, martial arts. And I just went through it, and I was like, okay. I ended up taking karate, but, like, I was like, okay, and I just started clicking through and seeing what they were all about. And I like the kind of, like, flippy, you know, type of stuff. Like, you know, you see, like, in demo reels, like, guys are doing, like, lots of throws and stuff like that. I was like, well, that looks cool. And, you know, I like the idea of being able to use someone's force against them.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I'm not super confrontational anyway, so an art that doesn't necessarily involve me, like, punching or kicking the shit out of people, or more likely having it punched and kicked out of me, was important. But I couldn't find it, so I ended up taking karate. I got to a yellow belt in karate, so I'm sort of dangerous. So just be mindful of that. Be mindful of that. I moved to Richmond, and I looked at one other place. I could not. I emailed or called Chris multiple times and could not get him to return. I could not get him to call or contact me back. I was like,
really?
Yeah. And I've told him about this, and he'll deny it, I bet. But I remember I remember I getting a voicemail from him finally on my cell phone at work. But I was like, well, screw this. I'm going to go check out this other place up there. And I went and just did not get a good feeling from the place. Like, I was going to try out a class. And I was like, I went up there, shorts and T-shirt. I was like, no, I don't know. I don't think so. And then Chris called me back. And then I came in here. And I remember one of our black belts, now Dave, it was when we were across the street in, like, a extension of, like, a serious meathead gym.
Yeah.
Dave came over.
No offense, meatheads. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Just like stacks and stacks of iron is what I mean. Like, it's not like a cardio. It's not like a Gold's Gym.
No.
Like, it's straight up like you go there and you lift plates made of heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, sort of. Dave came over and talked to me for like 20 minutes. Like, never seen me before and just chatted with me. And I just asked him and he told me jiu-jitsu is more about cardio than strength. And Dave was, you know, taller than me and better built. And I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. I actually don't remember a lot about my first couple of years of jiu-jitsu, probably because it was just a blur of me just getting the hell beat out of me.
Yeah.
I know that I didn't catch a submission on anybody for almost a year.
And that's that's really going to test your how much do you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were in a math class and you couldn't do a formula. Hey, man, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
If you couldn't do a formula after, you know.
A year,
you'd be.
You couldn't apply it to a simple thing, yeah.
You would be considered a failure.
Yeah.
But jiu-jitsu, it's like, no, this is normal.
Yeah.
It's okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was tough. I mean, I haven't been training that long, nearly as long as you or some of the other guys in here or other people in general. Like, it was just me and everybody else had been training for a while. So I was like the new guy for a while.
Before other people started coming in?
Yeah, and then Joao, who we've had on the podcast, came in. So I think he's always been the closest equivalent of, like, we started around the same time.
He should be the barometer for you, kind of?
Yeah, like, it's like, okay, we started in the same 6 month period, pretty much, and then just came up from there. But yeah, man, like you said, like you guys, like I see you guys so much all the time, and it's so great having like this like family away from everybody else. It's kind of isolated,
and it's better. Yeah, that's what you know
from the rest of your life.
I blood family, I like about 30%. You know,
yeah.
But like people in here, mm-hmm. I like pretty much everybody.
80%.
So, no, it's everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when you talk about family I want to be with, I'd rather be around the jiu-jitsu family than my actual, the majority of my actual family. And if any of my family ever finds this and listens to it, I'm not referring to you.
You know he did jiu-jitsu?
No, they probably don't.
No, they didn't. Yeah. So did you I texted a picture to my mom, and she called me yesterday, and she was like,
I texted a picture to your mom, too, but it wasn't. It was,
all right,
I was wearing my
all right,
belt.
Where's but, the off? Record off.
But no, I didn't even mention it to my mom and dad because after a seminar, man, I'm just like, after that seminar and after promotion, I just needed the brain to be on something else. And I had my son with me, and I was taking care of him and watching TV, and just like my mind was just elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I had to fall asleep on their couch. I was exhausted.
I was. Those seminars, man, you're right, like, so tiring. Like, I think probably the most tiring one I ever did was the Tengio one.
Yeah. Because
that was, like, so active with the spider guard back and forth.
Right.
It was, but that was good stuff, too, and I really enjoyed talking to Tengio. The only reason I asked if you had told your parents is because you said, you had mentioned that, like, your parents were like, oh, we're so glad you still do that. I thought maybe you would, like, I got my brown belt today, guys.
They just always asked me about, you know, martial arts and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, just out of nowhere, my mom was like, yesterday was like, you know, and I'm 36. And my mom was like, so what is jiu-jitsu? And you started kind of explaining it. And she's like,
how do you explain it? What's the explanation you give people? Because I have my own.
For jiu-jitsu?
I
tell them it's a form of, I give them the technical version.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of grappling on the ground with wrestling,
mm-hmm.
but with submissions.
Uh-huh.
But I'll explain what they are. You know, I don't go super super esoteric because a lot of, you know, I could give them a Hicks and Gracie-esque, you know, but then, you know, it's just people kind of lose interest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you tell people?
Same thing. I was like, I just give them the simplest thing because most people, like, it's kind of weird because, you know, most of the people that I know closely know that I do jiu-jitsu, they will tell, like, we'll be out in a group and they'll mention it to someone. I don't mention it to people.
Yeah, I don't mention it to
because people get weird about it. Because they're like, oh, what is that? They automatically have this picture of you in a classroom with a bunch of 7-year-olds. Yeah!
Yeah.
That's what they think you're doing. What is happening? They're trying to rehang one of the bags from the seminar.
One of the heavy bags, one of the tie bags. They're trying to rehang it. We had a movie yesterday from the seminar.
Yeah.
And it's taken three people.
Yes. It's a three-person job, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, I just like, yeah, it looks like wrestling. It looks like college wrestling. And I always say college wrestling because I was like, oh, you're like jumping off turnbuckles. Yeah. People think it's professional wrestling. It's like, okay, dummies. Or you get the weirdos that like, oh, you do jiu-jitsu. You think you can beat me up?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I hope so.
I hope
yeah,
so.
I've missed a lot of fucking time in this. I hope I could do something to you. That's, you know, but I mostly just try to, unless it's, and even my friends that I know and that I know what it is, they're always like, hey, they always come up and do
that stupid shit.
Yeah, I was like, all right, guys, that's enough. So I sent a couple of texts out about it yesterday. But, yeah, my parents, I think, know what it is. But they're like, as long as it makes you happy. Then I come home and, like, I got my fingers are all messed up and my ears really big. And they're like, why do you do this to yourself?
Why do you do it? Yeah. You know? Like, why do people go into a gym and lift weight, pick a weight up and put it down?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd much rather do this. Yeah.
It's funny, like, if you were to go to my office... I really don't talk about it in my office.
Me neither.
Because I just don't...
People aren't going to get it.
People aren't going to get it, and I don't like... Oh, man. Somebody's going to hear this from that work. But people, I don't like my work.
You don't like the... I don't like the people I work with. Just say
I don't, well, I don't like my work so much. I don't go... I'm not super joyful about what I do on the outside when I go in. If you can go in my... You go to my office, there's no pictures of my kid anywhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even want to bring him in to, like, bring a picture of him into that environment?
No, but you will find in my cubicle... several pictures of Batman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's all about what makes you happy. Yeah. And, you know?
And your kid doesn't.
And,
just say it.
And, well, say it. I don't aspire to be my kid, but I do aspire to be Batman.
Well,
you know?
You're getting there. Yeah. What's your black belt? I bet you Batman has a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
So we got to talk about some products we've gotten lately.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got some shout-outs to give to folks.
Yeah, I do. First shout-out is to Do or Die Hyperfly. I actually wore their gi today, not planning to do a podcast. A couple of my gis over the past couple of months have gotten torn to the point where they can't be used anymore, and I put a question out on the Instagram, like, oh, what do I do? Like, what's the type of gi that I should get everybody? Because the picture was just sort of like a huge tear out of the elbow section of one of the sleeves, and Do or Die hit me up. I was like, hey, let me know your size. We'll send you one. Completely... Like out of the blue. How nice is that?
Just a disclaimer. I don't think they do that just for anybody. I think you know, we have a podcast that gets a pretty fair amount of attention.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're the best. Yeah, and but yeah, thank you so much again for hooking it up like that. I got an A3 Hyperlite. I'm 5'11", about 195 pounds, and just watched it on hot a couple of times, and the sleeve shrank up just the right amount, and it's great. I absolutely love it, and it's good because I didn't have to worry about see ya.
All right, man, have a good one.
So yeah, thank you so much for that. What other products?
Let's see. What else did I get? Oh, I picked up. I don't know. Eddie Bravo's new book.
Which is what?
Advanced Rubber Guard.
Okay. Okay.
And
how's that? Have you looked at it yet?
Yeah.
Is it one of the full color ones?
Yeah, it's full color. It's the same Victory Belt thing. So if you have any of the Victory Belt books, you know, this is kind of like, it's a lot of the same thing. The only difference in this book and his other books is he doesn't have, usually in the other books, he has like a long written section about like, his life and philosophy.
Abu Dhabi 2003.
Yeah, Abu Dhabi talks about everything. Mm-hmm. And this one, he doesn't. He makes mention that he's writing his autobiography, which can be really cool because the dude's in Hollywood. He's
probably got some crazy stories.
Early, he's been with the UFC since, you know, the early days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trained with a lot of, like, high-level guys. So I can't wait to read that, man. I love, you know, books of guys that are high-level jiu-jitsu or whatever they've done where they can, like, travel logs and stuff like that. Just to tell their story, so... That's a pretty good book.
I've been I have a couple of his books too, and Aaron let me borrow the Hubbard DVDs, and I've been trying some of
stuff.
What? You heard what I said. I said it right.
You said it right?
Yeah, I did say it right.
Rubber Guard?
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm just drilling over and over, just trying to get to like the Mission Control from there, because I think there's some value in that. Like some guys aren't really too fond of that type of thing. But
later, man.
But see ya.
See? Real open man.
Yeah. Real people. I say if it works, why not do it? Like I'm just trying, you know, get to keep them broken down, and from there, you know, I don't know any of the submission chains off there yet. It's an entirely different thing. And the flexibility, I tried on my grappling dummy at home, which is about 1.5 times broader in the shoulders than most people. Yeah. So it's super hard to get and control. I mean, I don't have to control the dummy because it doesn't move. But, like, even just getting it there is practice. But, yeah, I'm trying some of that. And I have his Mastering the Rubber Guard and his Jiu-Jitsu Unleashed.
Hey, Brad, come here. Have a seat, dude. So that's cool. So that's some of the latest things we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sitting on the mat, and we have a black belt with us. And because we don't really do, like, a bunch of other people when we record, I don't really think about it. But we got one of the guys that really helped push us to our limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here is Brad Mayhew.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, how are you, Brad?
I'm doing good.
Brad, how long have you been training? You were there when I first started, so you were there.
It's been about 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much constant. No breaks, but yeah.
Yeah, and you got your black belt in October of 2013.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really awesome day to see.
It was definitely, you know, it's something you put so much work into. It was definitely an awesome day. It was definitely one of my major accomplishments, I guess, as, you know, an adult, you know.
Yeah.
You look at the time and how much time you put into it, you know, you probably could get a doctorate degree for the amount of time you spend.
People don't realize what you could get in the academic world
yeah.
for the time you put in jiu-jitsu is astonishing.
Easily get a master's or a doctorate in the amount of time you put into
it. Hey, no, not knocking that.
Right.
Will that save you if somebody's trying to chuck the shit out of you on the street?
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. You see people with, like, their class rings and stuff on. It's like, oh, you got that. How long did it take you to get that? Like, you earned that in 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I put in however many years.
And then you lift your shirt and show your belt that you're wearing on your rec street
bus. Yeah. Or I lift up my shirt yesterday and show just the welts all over my body from the from the gauntlet.
From getting whipped.
Yeah. I got that on video. That was pretty brutal. It felt like it took a lot longer than what it actually did.
Oh, yeah.
But,
so what's it like, Brad, for you to see a bunch of people? I mean, even people you've known for years get belt purple.
It's definitely an awesome feeling to see other people, you know, reach their goals and know that you've helped them along the way and you've helped them grow their game just like people helped you grow your game.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, especially a lot of the guys, like, you know, you were one of the core guys that pretty much started this club, gym, whatever.
Long time,
you know, and we literally started with 5 guys. Basically killing each other, you know, every day.
Putting mats down in a room.
Right.
Fucking hours.
Right. And picking up mats every night, and you slowly see it grow over time. So definitely you have a piece in it. You're invested in it. And now I look at it as, you know, we have however many guys we have in the adult program. We have kids programs.
We have an affiliate school, too.
And we have an affiliate school. And, it, you know, none of that happens overnight.
No.
And it's just, you know, good people helping each other out along the way that really makes it, I think, you know, it definitely makes it a family.
Yeah.
And you really feel closeness with people, and it does your heart good to see them succeed.
Yeah, and you think about, like, when we started, and even, you know, between the first UFC, 1993, and I'd say 2005, 2006, if you started in that time period, that was a time period where nobody really knew anything. It was such such a fringe activity.
People were learning off DVDs, and, to even be in a room with a Gracie was, you know, considered awesome, you know, or any just straight knowledge from Brazil, you know, where you had a living human being that could show you the techniques and show you some of the small technical stuff that you really don't get off of a book or out of a book or DVD was something, you know.
And
when I started, there was literally one black belt in Richmond, or maybe, I think pretty much there was one black belt in Richmond, and, you know, it's definitely grown, and, you know, it's not like that anymore. But
we had four yesterday in here, Gustavo, Chris, you and Jimmy.
Relatively, it's still a small activity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people still don't really know a lot about it, but it's grown to where I can explain it and equate it to something. I could be like, hey, you know the ground stuff in the UFC that you see in the UFC? Well, that's Brazilian jiu-jitsu for the most part. You know, I can kind of equate it to things people understand.
Right.
Before, I just couldn't. And now, the funniest thing, and we've all seen this, and we don't get it as much, is when people come in to see what it's all about, and they want to prove something. Remember the people that used to come in to prove whatever?
Back in the day, it was nothing to have somebody come in, you know, they would have a black belt or multiple black belts in other martial arts.
Whatever.
And they wanted to get on the mat, and they were going to try to take it to you, and you had to, yeah, prove jiu-jitsu to them.
Yeah.
And that was
even
not,
if you're a white belt, you
right,
got to do it.
That was
prove
not
it,
uncommon. Right. And when you first started, you know, especially like when we had such a small club in the yeah, beginning, it's 5-6 people. Mm-hmm. Somebody would come in, and wouldn't matter if, you know, they're 225-pound, you know, power lifter, or,
you gotta do
you
it,
know, you got to put it to them, basically. Yeah. And that was not uncommon at all. You'd get all kinds of crazies and nutballs coming in.
Yeah.
Wanting to, you know, basically fight, you know.
And now that's few and far between. People come in respectful. It's like, right, can I try this out? You know?
Right.
Or they come in and then they don't want it. Then they yeah, see what it is. They're like, nah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, before, yeah, if you stuck, you were probably crazier than the crazy nutball who came in just to fight, you know?
Right.
Well, it sounds like you guys are just brutalizing each other under Chris's maybe somewhat not great supervision.
No, I think Chris had good supervision, yeah, but it was definitely, you know, when they say steel sharpening steel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's how it was, you know, back when we started. And, yeah, you came in. We had guys that were, you know, let's say white belts or whatever, and somebody new came in, and they're just foaming at the mouth to get to yeah, them because they've been getting oh, beaten.
They're just not,
they just everybody else. Somebody. They're like, thank God, there's somebody I can beat on now.
Yeah.
And so it definitely was, you know, a new white belt would yeah, come in, and the other white belts Speed would just time, be, yeah, they would just be foaming
chum
at the
in
mouth.
The water.
Right. It was ridiculous.
And when it's funny because when new people come in here now, we all kind of give them the, not a sales pitch at all, but we always just kind of explain that we're nice and polite. And we give them the schedule or a card, and we just kind of, they can, hey, watch this. You didn't know when that person came in years ago, you had to be a little standoffish.
Well, you never knew what their level was.
And you don't know what their mindset is.
And a lot of guys would come in, and they, like I said, they'd have multiple black belts or black belts and other martial arts, and they wouldn't tell you any of that. Or they'd wrestled, you know, for 8 years in high school and, you know, middle school or whatever, and they wouldn't tell you any of that. They wanted you to prove it. You know? And, is known about, and I guess it's widely accepted as it is now.
People in the grappling world knew about this, you know, so they wanted to test their mettle.
Right.
But outside, not a lot of people knew about it. Mm-hmm. Later, man, have a good one. Dominic. But so yeah, it's a fun wild ride, you know.
The other thing that jiu-jitsu has really taught me through the years is, you know, when somebody walks through the door, it can be anybody. You never can judge a man or a woman by what they look like,
right?
What kind of heart they're going to have, and yeah, it pretty much weeds people out. And there's been plenty of people who, when I first, you know, rolled with them or they first came in, I'm like, oh, they're never going to make it. They'll mm-hmm. never, you know, they'll never stick it out.
You can just say it. His name was ET,
and his name was Brian.
That may have been two of the people I'm talking of, but and then you don't really find out the heart of them until, yeah, they're willing to put it, you know, on the mat and mm-hmm. take, you know, hey, there's a learning curve and there's, you know, physical beatings, yeah, you know, that come into it.
And the flip side of that is guys that come in that are tatted up and, you know, they look like they are, you know, shaved head and just look like they want to just, you know, kick ass until their first or second lesson. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah. A lot of people's ego, you know, basically, in jiu-jitsu, you've got to leave your ego at the door, whether you're a black belt, whether you're the white belt, because, you know, anybody in the right position can get caught at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of guys that come in with big egos, they'll never make it in jiu-jitsu, because you're going to have guys that you're like, oh, I'm in better shape than that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. harder than that guy. And, yeah, they're going to tap you and make you look foolish.
Yeah.
What always surprised me is that you see people come in that just have all the athletic prowess in the world. Like, they're just, you know, they're probably good athletes, and they just don't stick with it for whatever reason. Maybe they get bored or something, but we've had some guys like that over the years. And another thing about people that don't stick, even if you're not being submitted, jiu-jitsu is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, knee on belly is not a comfortable position. Like, having someone mounted on you, like, you get your skin pinched, like, you know, when someone's grabbing for your cloth, it's just kind
of... There's going to be a lot of general uncomfortable feelings.
I feel like my pain tolerance is way higher now than what it was.
Yeah.
Well, your body hardens to a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
True.
And you really don't notice it probably as it's going on. But, yeah, your body gets used to a lot of that. I always, so, like, you know, like the saying about it's kind of like swimming in the deep water, you know, when you're under somebody mm-hmm. and you've been rolling for a half hour and yeah, they're putting their weight on you and making you miserable and you can't take but a quarter of a breath yeah. and you can't quit, you know,
yeah.
And a lot of it's just surviving in the beginning stages when you're a white belt, it's just learning to survive under people and learning how to defend yourself enough
yeah.
to, you know, survive those.
Yeah. Get you some
hard
grit.
Pressure situation.
Yeah, it does. It gives you some grit, and it makes you sharpen your mind because then you got to, you know, realize you got to start thinking of moves and linking all this stuff together. And you know, so those positions, you know, they're not a death sentence on the mat for you. You know, and the people that come in with all that natural ability, they get like a certain level. I say good in quotes. They get good for a white belt mm-hmm. really quick.
Yeah,
and then when it gets harder. That's when all the mental part comes in and the grit part comes in, the heart comes in. That's when they leave, and it really separates.
They'll bottom out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you also, as a white belt, you don't realize how good a black belt or a purple belt or a brown belt, how far advanced they are, and that most of the time they're taking it easy on you.
You don't think that. Right.
You don't think that at the time, but as you go up in belt level and you're like, oh man, they just turned it up on me.
Yeah.
And you know, you get to that next belt level and you're like, oh my God, he just turned it up on me again.
You're like, I've been surviving like the entire time, but you've just been like gradually ratcheting it up too.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's always funny when you hear a white belt, we're not picking a white belt, but it's just in general, or a white belt or whatever, just say, I felt pretty good. You didn't give me that time. And it's like, well, yeah, I got under you. To work me, to help me
right.
with this, not to
or, you know, I can tap and submit you at any time.
At any point.
Right, you know.
Yeah. I'm working something too here, you
right,
know.
Right, right. You're advancing and working on parts of your game that they don't even realize exist.
Exactly.
Basically, at their point. It's definitely a high curve in skill level. And a lot of the times, I think when you're a white belt, a blue belt, you realize people are better than you, but you don't realize a lot of times they're not showing you all their game.
No, of course not.
Absolutely not.
Because they would devastate you.
Well, you wouldn't come back, you know.
Right.
If people were literally just beating the mess out of you and you were tapping every 30 seconds mm-hmm. and you didn't feel like you were getting better in any way, you would quit.
Well, I don't know if you guys are like this. You probably are. Whenever a new person comes in, you always kind of size them up. And we're all three of us are nice guys. Mm-hmm. But if you come in and you're mouthy, my first role with you is not going to be the most super comfortable, let me show you what you do role. It's going to be, let me show you how effective this is.
Yeah.
And that's just based off of your initial attitude.
I think with me, new white belt, new guy, I've never seen role before, never done anything before. I'm going to be super guarded with him because just to keep, I'm more worried about him doing something crazy or unorthodox that might hurt me in some way than, I'm not worried about him submitting me in any way.
Well, you might be spastic. You
right, might be spastic, might try something that could injure me not knowing any better. And to where I have a firm policy that I put it on anybody that walks through the door the first time I shake
their hand.
Do you really? I absolutely do.
I look at some people that
I'm going to tap in a five-minute round. I'm going to tap you probably five, six, seven times and send you on your way.
But thank you.
And the next time I roll with you, I'll let you work and do, you know. But
this is where I am.
Right.
This is you.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And once I trust you more, I mean, that's the whole thing that a lot of people don't realize in jiu-jitsu with, you know, rolling and rolling all the time and all the sparring that you do, there's a trust level that has to be bonded with your training partners that you know they're not going to hurt you on purpose.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt them. I mean, there's plenty of submissions you can get people in where even if you apply it, you know, like heel hooks, there's dangerous stuff you can do that you have to have trust in your partner not to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of schools treat some of those moves different ways, but a lot of it, you know, you can get in the position. You don't necessarily need to apply it to know you have it.
Right.
I'm talking mostly about, like, heel hooks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, stuff that if you put it on me and I move the wrong way, I'm hurting myself.
You spaz out and do something wrong, you can crank it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything with the neck.
And I don't want to do that to anybody.
I don't want to hurt anybody and make them not be able to train, but I mean, you're talking pretty catastrophic stuff when you're talking about your knees and your neck,
mm-hmm.
in my book anyway. So I'm not trying to blow somebody's knee out And I'm definitely not trying to paralyze them or crank their neck where they have a nerve issue or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that, especially with neck cranks, I've always thought it's a good policy. If you're going to use those moves, be like, hey, I'm applying a neck crank to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, as you apply it.
Because they might be waiting for a choke. They might not know the move, and they're like, well, it's not choking me yet, but it really hurts my neck. I bet the choke comes in a second. And then, you know, you hear a little crack or a pop or something.
And a lot of it, when you're hot, you know, when you've been training for a half hour, your body's hot, you're loose.
You don't really feel it.
You don't feel it till you walk off the mat, and you're like, oh, my Lord. Yeah. Like, you cool down, your tendons, everything start tightening up, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hurt.
Unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool. We've got a couple of new guys that have been in here lately, a couple of new white belts in the last few months, and there's a couple of them, and they're all very nice and very respectful, and now, I think, when I started, Brad was a purple belt, ET was a blue belt, and I looked at Brad. I remember talking with the other, like, newer guys, like, when I'd been here a while, and there were some other new guys, and I was like, man, Brad's so good. He's his game is so good, even now. Your game is so fucking good. Like, I look at, like, ET, your brother Chuck, Dave, Chris, like, all these guys, like, I don't know, like, I would look up to them, like, I can never be like that. Like, when you first start, the road is just, you don't even see the end
of it. But you got to get on that road.
Right.
Yeah.
As a new, brand new student, the best thing you can do, find somebody that has a similar body style as you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that you like their game.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much copy, mimic what they're doing.
How
they're moving. What they do in certain situations. And it's going to benefit you. I know when I started, I'm a bigger guy. I weigh, 235, probably to 240, short, stocky, like a spark plug, basically. And, I've wrestled so I've grappled probably a total of 17, 18 years, with jiu-jitsu. And when I started, I never approached it as a big, strong guy.
I always wanted
technique. And the guy I really liked when I started, the first school I started at, his name was Gary, and always liked it because he always looked so relaxed, and he always looked like he never was, like, trying in any position that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first guy that I started trying to, like, kind of mimic what I was doing after. And it's kind of funny because it doesn't necessarily have to be a guy that you have the same body style as you, but... Yeah, as you evolve that technique, I always wanted technique over strength.
Yeah.
And, when you're tired, technique doesn't leave you. The strength does.
Yeah. So it's good to have sometimes a small instructor, a small man.
Right.
Who had to learn
right.
to use technique to be your teacher.
Right.
Sometimes it's best.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, with Chris, a lot of the stuff I do, me and Chris's games are similar. They're totally different in some aspects, and they're very similar in some aspects. And some of the stuff, I know Gustavo and, like, all – his schools are kind of known for a half guard as, being a strong position. And I love half guard and, I'd rather be in half guard personally than I would be in guard.
Right.
Just cause I feel like I can pretty much sweep and go to the top anytime I want. And
you're
I
halfway
have a bunch,
there.
Right. Yeah. I'm halfway there and I have a bunch of submissions from there too. But yeah, it's just how you develop your game.
Yeah.
But, that's the best advice I'd give to any white belt is just copy your game after somebody you like and somebody that's similar in body as you in the beginning. And, don't worry about submission. Just worry about position.
And just keep coming back. Just keep coming back.
You're going to get better. It doesn't matter how bad, we've had guys that are the most, softest, noodle of a dude when they come in. And you're like, this guy's never going to make it. But, hey, if they keep coming back, your body's going to harden.
It's just like math. Like, you just put the numbers behind it, the time on the mat, and you will get better.
Yeah.
That's what anybody that's good at anything is made of. It's just time.
Well, we've gone about 40 minutes, so we should probably wrap this up. Brad, thanks for scooting over here and talking to us, man.
Not
it's really
problem,
good.
Man.
I mean, it's good. I'm glad that you're here today. Mm-hmm. You can throw your 2 cents in. And, man, so congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Yeah, congratulations to both of y'all. Like I said, it was a proud moment for me to see y'all reach, that level. And I can't wait to be here the day when y'all receive your black belts.
Yeah.
And, I know for me, it was definitely one of the proudest moments I've had in life,
Yeah.
and huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I feel lucky being able to see all you guys receive your black belts, and I really enjoyed seeing Chris get his at Gustavo's.
That was that's a pretty big deal, seeing your instructor get his black
belt. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And now we're all like still coming up together. Like, it started like I said, Brad was a purple belt, now he's a black belt. So it's cool just seeing like everybody like grow together in the sport, and you see like personally like. Now people are married and have kids and stuff, so
it's cool.
It's very cool. But thanks for talking, guys.
Yep, thanks. Awesome. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. You can find us. We always have to throw out where people can find us at. You can find us on iTunes, of course. If you found this through iTunes, you most likely know that. Mm-hmm. But we have a Facebook page, Jiu-Jitsu Geeks, and we also have a pretty active Instagram page. Mm-hmm. Brian, talk about that out.
It's on Instagram. It's Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. With an S on the end, all one word.
Yep.
And you'll find us.
And follow me at AvidGamerWare. Mm-hmm. All right, video games, jiu-jitsu, stuff like that, okay? On Instagram also. So, hey, thank you, all both of you, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.